Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive, Bit Season, couple of regular guys, it's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh, it's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 171. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
It is
Thursday.
Thursday. I was thinking the NSYNC thing. I haven't seen that today.
Oh,
Where's that been?
I don't know.
It's gonna be May.
You're right.
Wasn't that always?
That was always
the trigger.
May, yes. And then I thought for you were going to say May the 4th be with you.
No,
no, no. But you're right. Yeah. It's going to be.
That was a bit for like 5 years. I just realized it's 11 o'clock, and I realized I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it once either. Speaking of not seeing each other, you won't see me next week. This bit season will have to hold you over for 2 weeks since I will be heading to vacation. Next week, so sorry, Drabby, you'll have to be without your work wife for a couple days.
And then I don't think I'm going to be here the following week.
Yeah, I know.
So it is what it is. Vacation time for the big sillies.
You know what? We get vacation. The guys may not always be together nonstop, but you know what? We get vacation every now and then. You kind of tilted me today, Drab.
Why?
Because believe it or not, Drab and I have plans to meet up on our vacations because we overlap by a couple of days.
I think the biddies would like that for us to meet up on vacation. We originally talked about that a few weeks ago, and the plan is to follow through and see each other. I thought we were getting coffee.
The plan has kind of changed.
Shocker, the plan is what Valdez wants to do.
Do we only overlap by a day or 2 days? I think it's just one day.
Maybe one full day?
So the plan was, I guess maybe it was just coffee, but I asked Drab to join me and Steve to play golf at Wexford Country Club on Hilton Head Island. Mm. And it's a Saturday morning, 8 a.m. tee time. And Drab said, I don't have clubs. And I said, well, we'll get you a rental set.
I have clubs. I said, I don't know if I can bring my clubs.
He said, I'm not going to bring my clubs. I said, we'll get you a rental set. I don't want to hold anyone up. We'll play as a scramble threesome. So that way no one's getting held up. You're not feeling anxious. And then you come in today. All pouty saying, I played golf for the first time in however long. And you said, I had to walk off three or four holes because a six-year-old was beating me. And now our hang time is in serious jeopardy.
Well, again, I'm open to hanging out. The last thing I need to do is be anxious during my vacation. And I know, looking the whole trip down there, the 8-hour drive that I'm doing down to Hilton Head, I'm going to be thinking about this no offense, dumb round of golf I got to play with Valdez and Steve, who I don't know, sounds like a very nice guy, invited us out. But the problem is you put this pressure on me like weeks ago, and you said, hey, Drab, do you want to play golf on, we said we'd meet up when we were down there, and I got a listener who wants to you to come out and play with us golf, but you gotta let me know now. You gotta let me know now if you're locked in. Well, and I'm like,
well, it takes a lot of effort to get those Saturday morning tea times.
Yeah. Well, all right, hey, it sounds like you already got them.
Well, he just wanted to know. Do you want to back out? I'm giving you this option of backing out. I'll just play with him, and then afterwards, how about we'll meet for lunch at Sandbar.
Here's what I hate. One of the worst days of my life was playing golf with you, Valdez.
What do you mean the worst day?
One of the worst days of my life was playing golf with you. And I've played golf with you many times, and most of the time it's a good time. One day it was a really bad time, and that's when I went out with you and two other really good golfers. And it was me duffing the ball over the place, whiffing, embarrassing myself. And I just felt like the world's biggest loser. And I don't want to feel like that again another day in my life. I don't mind going out there with Mike Marr and John Allville and embarrassing myself. I don't want to go out there with you who shot a 69, everyone. Valdi shot a 69 a week ago and some other country club guy out there. And you guys are striping the ball all over the place, talking about your hybrids and your transfusions. And I'm just in la la land.
And you have your limp dick dry. And I got my
I'm not kidding you. I went to a par 3 course the other day, a 9-hole par 3. You can't get any more honky tonk than that.
Except it's called Oakmont.
Yeah, it is called Oakmont. It's in Vienna. Thanks to Mike, who invited us out. And I played with Mike from the mill and his son Tommy, who's 6 years old. And I'm not kidding you. If we played from the same tees, this 6-year old would wipe the field with me.
The course.
If we're doing shot for shot, no cheat, because I can't hit the ball. Like, I can, every three holes, I can hit a, you know, pipe a drive down there. Everyone goes, ooh, I got to hold that one.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you do there?
Yeah, yeah. That hole in one.
And he's
then the
back.
And then the next 9 shots after that will be hazards and whiffs.
Yeah, the long face, head down.
Hitting
forlorn.
The ball, hitting the ball,
all right,
off, over the green on one side, over the green coming back, over again into the sand.
All right, this is what I'm going to do.
I'll eventually pick up the ball.
This is what I'm going to do. You're obviously uncomfortable playing, and then I tried to make it as comfortable as I could for you, mm-hmm. But it's obviously. And then you know what? Maybe you don't want to wake up at the ass crack of dawn and come and go to the Wexford.
I mean, I haven't seen my parents. I see them once a year, first day there.
All right. Well,
hey guys, I'm going to go. Of course, nice seeing you.
All right. How about after the round?
Mm-hmm.
You can stop by the club, or we can meet you at Sandbar, which is kind of close by the entrance, and you get yourself a silly grouper sandwich. But when we'll hang out,
okay,
we'll do shtick.
Can I sleep on it one more night? Let me sleep on it one more night.
One more night. Right. It doesn't even have to be lunch. We can just grab a beer or whatever. Just meet up, or coffee, whatever you want.
I just don't want to rick anyone else.
You're not ricking me.
Well, I know, but it's his course.
That's fine. He'll drop out. It'll be all good.
Is he going to bring some other ringer too to fill?
No. It was just us three.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'm probably okay. I'm just a little after my round the other day, I'm not feeling too great about it.
I should probably let you know this.
Oh, all right. Well, then maybe you know what? I'm bowing out. Before you say anything to make me feel worse, I'm bowing out.
Because the club regulars that play every morning, every Saturday, Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
during the week, they're going to be behind us the entire time. So they're going to be on our butts.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm holding this up.
Well,
now I don't really hold people up because I don't care, and I'll just pick up my ball.
I know.
I'm not a holder. I know that. I will not hold you
up. I know
up
you're not going to hold, but I feel like it would add to the anxiety if you got
watching all the sticks watching me.
Well, yeah, and you got grumpy old men behind you, kind of waiting on the tee box while you're in the fairway dribbling a ball.
Yeah, blow it out your ass, old man. Leave me alone.
I'm enjoying myself.
I'll sleep on it.
You have your final decision tomorrow.
The clubs are already in the Atlas Valdez.
Oh, you're
so they're ready to go.
So you don't even need rentals.
No. I'll play with my own if I come.
Okay.
If I play.
Oh, that, look at you.
Hey, well, maybe I'll surprise you.
Maybe. You'd like the course. It's short. It's nothing too long.
Is it as short as the par 3 9-hole course? 90 minutes in and out. Barely time to get into a bad mood.
I hope everyone realized in that 8 minutes, Drab admitted to a 6-year-old beating him.
Yeah. I'm not. That is 100%. Shoot. That kid would probably beat me in 18 holes.
It would probably
72 par course.
He would beat a lot of people.
Yeah. He's pretty good. Plays a lot. Valdez, how are you feeling about the show this week? I know a lot of RFK stuff, but
yeah,
a lot of
stadium
talk.
A lot of Caps talk. I noticed on today's show there was a kind of like a groundswell of support to try and resuscitate get that Stanley.
Mm.
And I have a lot of thoughts about get that Stanley, and I'm not sure if you share the same sentiment, but. It's just, I feel like Get That Stanley is kind of been there, done that. And I don't know if people want it or people over it. And it seems like Eric's the only one of the show who's really pounding the table to get it back.
Yeah, now he wants to do bands and make her dance when he didn't know that was a thing 2 weeks ago. And I can't believe Bish doesn't know it's a thing. I feel like that should not be the rallying cry of the show. I'd rather it be the Sandstorm.
I kind of like this.
By Drood.
I think I like the Sandstorm
even
better.
Even though that's not original to the Caps and that's played in every stadium.
Yeah.
It's at least like a fire-up song. Mm-hmm. And I think the Junkies are just too Johnny-come-lately to the bands that make her dance.
I think it's twofold. Number one, the guys kind of being late to the party on it is kind of a blemish on our record.
Yeah.
And gives us reason to not do it.
I'd rather do Get That Stanley.
Between bands and Get That Stanley?
Yes, I'd rather do Get That Stanley. Just because it feels like we're trying too hard with the bands and make her dance, and it's not our own original content. But I will tell you why, and I'm going to have to go. I think you and I feel the same way. I just feel this whole, and we've probably talked about this years ago, it's all a distraction not to talk about the game, in my opinion.
Like, would you explain that?
Hey, Valdez, play Get That Stanley. Let's eat up a couple minutes here of the segment, not breaking down the game, but we're still talking Caps.
Okay.
Because Eric's uncomfortable talking Caps.
Yeah, I can tell he's very.
Does that make sense? He it's not his familiar game. It's
I know.
Not, so
I know.
To me, it's just filler.
I can tell he's uncomfortable because every time he makes a statement about the game or the series in general, he always prefaces by saying, "I'm not the most sophisticated fan in the world."
It's too big of a tell to me that they're not.
But
comfortable. And I just want them to be comfortable. I just want them to do it.
So if they, okay. So are we saying we need something because it's the uncomfort is going to get
actually,
too big?
It's actually the opposite. I want them to face their fears.
Okay.
But I think that's the way I felt 5 years ago. So, and I know nothing's going to change.
It
just doesn't feel organic to me.
It does. You're right. It doesn't feel, the whole Get That Stanley thing was organic.
Don't get me wrong. Like when he's playing, hit the music, Cakes, after JD5 throws 5 touchdown passes or whatever. That, to me, is real passion. And he's doing a rant over the top of it, and people are fired up. This is...
It's band's time.
Yeah, it's band's time. Let's listen
to it. How's the first verse go? Let's hear the first verse.
That's just my insider opinion of it.
The whole Get That Stanley thing, it's very lost on the guys and I think our listeners that the first year we don't do it, was the 2018 Cup run.
And we don't get enough credit for that. We took a stand, and so many people blamed us and said, you guys need to follow through and do the show. Because for like five straight years, from 2013 to 2017, we always played that dumb Get That Stanley from the caller. If you don't even know the history of it, some caller called in and he said, come on, Caps, you got to get that Stanley.
Yeah, so I have
about... Because he knew nothing about hockey either.
And I have about 10 to 15 remixes of that.
So we'd always play that clip over another song.
Yeah, something with Get That or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it became something. And then for 5 years, it was early exit after early exit.
Right.
And then the 1 year we refused to play it was the year they won the
but also
Stanley Cup.
It's an old bit.
Yeah.
Like you got to come up with something.
I know,
new.
But don't we major in old bits around here?
Yeah, we do.
Can we do Got That? Can we do like some sort of remix of Got That Stanley?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming right now. Okay. How do we figure out something that we can do along the lines of Get That Stanley, but is our own? Like Sandstorm's not our own.
Mm-hmm. We did that with One Trick Pony.
Should we do that?
No, because that was a storyline that's died out.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The band. Should we do something with Stanley and bands, or is that? Or is that a stretch? Are we reaching too much?
You mean like a band's to make your Stanley?
Something
bands
like
band's to make your Stanley.
Yeah, something along that.
I mean, maybe.
Should we just combine that?
Yeah. You'll blow his D off, Valdez, when you do that on Monday. All
right.
You're not even here.
I'll have it ready.
It's on Heavy Metal Chris now next week to play Bands and Make Her Dance.
I'll have it ready to go tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I'll have it in the...
Save it in the soundbite archive.
I'll have it in the hopper ready to go.
Okay. All right. Well...
Glad we figured that
out. Whatever's going to make the guys happy. If they really want Bands to Make Her Dance or Get That Stanley, then they're more than welcome to.
But you're just putting it out there. The reason isn't a rally cry. The reason is let's distract you from what's going on.
Yeah. Yes. And it's
don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Because it's not like it's a show. It just seems so forced. It's every year. It's like, oh, we should come up with something, right?
Uh-huh.
We should do something. We got to do something. Why? I mean, that's not organic. I love Hail to the Redskins.
Well, I know we didn't really do anything during the run, did we? For the Commanders?
No, right? I don't think so.
Right? It was just play the music.
We should come up with something, though. We can come up with something.
We need something more evergreen. Can we do, what about Unleash the Fury? Can we do Unleash the Stanley?
I'm looking forward to your remix on Monday. Okay. Maybe it will be Unleash the Stanley.
Okay.
Maybe it will be Bands Make Her Stanley.
Okay. All right.
All right, RFK talk this week. You know what I thought was one of the most interesting quick side bits of the show this week, or discussions, I mean, was JP coaching flag football without a kid on the team, Valdez.
Yeah.
And Bickle kind of getting after him quickly, and I think people might even have opinions on this or be split, because I had a friend DM'd me last night saying that JP's a weirdo, everyone's going to think he's a weirdo, and I just... And I got it, and I gotta let people know about this. I don't know. I've been vibing with JP this week.
I know, dude. You've been talking to him about recreational sports with kids all weekend, all week long.
I told you, like everyone's a family here. We all have like, we're very close. Sometimes we're vibing with each other. Sometimes we're button heads or whatever it is.
No, you kept telling him about a Tinsley laying on the grass.
But let me tell you something. It's been Stockton and Malone, JP and Drab this week. And this is all like off air.
Uh-huh.
Now, sometimes it goes on too long and my eyeballs roll to the back of my head because it's too much. But for the most, JP's been entertaining me. He's been... engaging me. He's been like a fatherly figure.
He's shown you the ropes.
Yeah, and I don't know. He just
the kid sports ropes,
but he's bringing content that I'm interested in off air.
Okay,
it's not, that's not always.
He found something that's piqued your interest.
Yeah, and it is about rec soccer because my kids are playing rec soccer, and JP takes a lot of pride in his coaching. And I think Bickle was kind of, I don't know if the phrase is out of line, but I thought he was a little out of line, basically calling JP a pedophile for coaching kids soccer that aren't his own kids. I got people saying that I'm weird too for thinking that's not the case, and that everyone else is going to think that JP's a weirdo.
Well, are you coaching your kids? Or
No.
Do you have interest in coaching your kids?
For basketball. Or other things, not soccer.
Okay.
I never played it growing up, so I would feel like an absolute thief out there trying to instruct them.
My main question for JP, and this, I feel like this is a great topic. I feel like we could have taken calls on this for an hour.
I tried today. They wanted to talk about Jordan Hudson again.
Jordan.
Okay.
How far removed is he from coaching this? Like,
No, he's coaching right now.
Okay, so his...
Oh, you're talking about flag football?
Yeah, flag football.
Probably like 3 or 4 years. But what you guys don't know is that JP takes a lot of pride in that championship. And you can Joan on it if you want, but he does talk about that a lot off air. He brags about what a savant he is. I mean, he's Sean McVay of the flag football
hey,
world.
Is it about... Joe's not X's and O's, isn't he? You know what's the ironic about this?
Guy hates coaches,
and talent always rises to the top.
Yeah,
no matter who the coach is.
But not with flag football. He's winning. He's beating the inner city kids with Dylan Flame.
All the hills.
Yeah, because he's talking about how all the plays that he draws up are so much sillier than everybody else's.
The Fonz from The Waterboy.
But he takes a lot of pride in it. And here's the thing. It makes him happy. And I had coaches growing up that kids weren't exactly on the team. And they probably had kids years ago and they got into it and they're still coaching. To me, it doesn't matter. Like, are they a high school coach getting paid a few bucks? Are they a club coach getting paid a lot? Or are they just doing it for volunteer?
And
it makes no difference to me.
I was on the fence about it. My initial reaction was kind of like, okay, that's weird. You know, you're around kids, but the more I thought about it, like in the AAU era, you know what I mean? Of kids playing travel ball and all this, like those coaches aren't parents of a player on the team. I think it's doable.
Was Bickle's point. Bickle was saying, nobody does that. He basically said nobody coaches rec league soccer or rec league sports that kids aren't on the team. They're just begging for a parent to take over. But JP wants to actually just coach a team and get players and kids that he doesn't know and has no connection to. I still like it. I still have no problem with it. But to me, like looking back at my little league days, and I wasn't a great baseball player, but I did make majors as a 10-year-old.
Okay.
Well, some of the numbers didn't.
All right.
Now look, my older brother was on the team.
Okay.
So that probably had a lot to do with it.
You gotta keep that schedule the same for your parents.
I was the three inning right fielder for at least the first year. Probably two after that.
Drad had a gold glove in picking daisies.
You know that I got moved even as a 12-year-old. I got moved to first base, and I was tiny. You know they always put the big fat kid at first base.
I played first growing up.
That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard. They should have moved me to outfield. They actually moved me to first base, and I was small and thin because I had the Chuck Knoblauch. I had the yips.
I couldn't throw
the ball to first base.
I had accuracy.
Like I had a cannon. But I'd field the ball and I couldn't hit the guy in the chest from 10 feet away. I'd throw it over his head.
I had a bout of that as well as a kid.
All right. Chuck Knoblauch, that's an old reference, but that happened to him. Anyways, my little league, I loved it, dude. Like the managers in that league, they didn't all have kids on the team. Like they had been managers for years and years. My little league manager wore we were basically a Yankees imitation.
Mm-hmm.
He wore pinstripes to the games, head to toe. He wore the baseball coaching shoes. He wore the stirrups, the pants, the shirt. It looked like he could have. He was 60 years old. Looked like he could have been playing in the game if he had the same uniform as us. It was like the big leagues. We took it seriously. We weren't just goofing around. So to me, and like he was just a volunteer coach.
Yeah.
I had coaches growing up that kids weren't their kid wasn't on the team, is what I'm saying.
Growing up, mainly it was a parent. Did your dad ever coach?
Well, how do you
team?
Build a dynasty?
No, I'm just tell you exactly how.
What about Leggett? Talk to me about Leggett. Does it, you know who I'm
know
talking
Leggett.
About? Vienna. This is Vienna called Vienna. Okay? There's like five people who know what I'm talking about. Leggett is a legendary Vienna baseball coach, coaches a team, coaches all stars. I don't know how old he is. 50s, right?
50s. Yeah. 50s
okay.
or 60s. Yeah.
He doesn't have kids on the team.
But he's just, that's what he knows. What he knows what to do. He knows how to prepare these kids for high school ball and beyond.
Well, JP,
I know,
is a savant at flag football coaching.
And you know what?
And it's a future Olympic sport. Maybe he's skeezy, you know?
You know what? Why I think this could be a really good thing for the kids is because there's nothing like instilling confidence in a young kid like that. And if JP all of a sudden has all of these plays up his sleeve and is this great flag football coach, imagine what he's doing to a kid who, you know, isn't the fastest guy out there. And the team looks like a little giants and they're out there beating a bunch of these Oxon Hill teams.
Yeah.
Just imagine what it can do to your confidence as a kid. You take that into your adolescence.
Speaking of little giants, did Ed O'Neill have a kid on the team, Valdez?
Icebox.
Oh, that was his kid?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Matt, imagine JP walks into that first team meeting with that giant trophy he's got from 2015 or whatever.
You want one of these?
You got to listen to what I say. I know how to get the championship rings.
You know he should come to his practice with his Nats and Caps rings on.
Yeah, he should. I got no problem with JP being and you know what? Eric Bickle hasn't volunteered 1 hour of his life for anything. What would he know about giving time back to the youth? I'm not going to listen to that guy. I love Eric. He's very entertaining, but he's a selfish individual.
I totally agree.
Okay. JP is a man of the community.
Aren't you curious to see his play designs?
He's shown them to me before.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one.
They are.
Explain one of his go-tos to me.
Jackson Dart couldn't run that offense.
Is he?
Too complicated for Jack. I don't remember. It was something about crossing. The guys were crossing in the back of the end zones or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's flag football 101.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He said JP was breaking down cover two. He said that everybody runs man or something like that.
And flag football is a different breed, too. There was nothing more embarrassing than when we're at University of Maryland. And we had one of the quarterbacks of the varsity teams up in Damascus. Oh, yeah, it was Damascus. All right. Mm-hmm. We had a wide receiver from Damascus. We were our flag football team. We were kind of stacked. All right.
You played flag football?
Well, I mean, like rec leagues, like stuff. Not like it's intramural league.
Let me, you ever put on a helmet?
Yes.
Have you ever put on a
yes.
A girdle, Valdez?
Yes.
Have you ever played real football?
Yes.
All right. What year?
When I was it my freshman and sophomore years high school.
Oh, all right.
But we're playing flag football, intramural flag football at University of Maryland.
Oh, okay.
And we had a pretty stacked team of athletes, and we go out there our first game, and we're warming up and everything, tossing the ball around, and the team that we're playing against is a bunch of 5'6" Asian dudes. Mm-hmm. All right. And so we look over at them and they can barely hold the ball. They can barely throw the ball. I mean, they're wearing like football cleats or soccer cleats And we're just like, oh my God, we're going to smoke these guys. This is silly. Like, yeah. They're like, all right, how many touchdowns do we want? All right. Does anyone have a girl in the stands? They're trying to impress. We'll get you the ball early. Make you look good. All right. We're already strategizing that. We're always going, all right. What time are we going to get to Cornerstone after the game? We step on the field. They get the ball first. And I swear, their offense was like the greatest show on turf. These Asian dudes, they were crisscrossing one another. No one could keep up.
They're quick.
No one had any idea what they're doing. They're not even. They're like throwing the ball forward 1 yard, throwing it backwards 2 yards. Like, it was unbelievable. It wasn't even real football. Flag football. It was.
I remember at ASU there was a prominent Asian squad, and like, they always had like really hot girls on, like, either on that team supporting them.
They're in the stands. It looked like Tokyo Drift.
Nobody else had girls, like, you know, they had like an athlete girl that they could try to win with. No, the Asian team always had hot girls that looked like everyone's hair was done, and they were good.
I know.
Yeah.
They were good.
You're taking me back.
They ran all over the field. I don't know. I actually think flag football might be in the Asian culture.
Well, you know, the Japanese tackle football team is beat the U.S. team. Now, the U.S. team was like Division II and Division III players. But like an international competition, we lost to Japan in tackle football.
Doesn't shock me. It was a very well organized squad that we ran up against.
Yeah.
And we're all sloppy, a bunch of penalties.
They didn't make a lot of mistakes, coachable.
No. They were good. I actually think they won the league.
Well, what JP says is he always takes pride in. I'm not trying to make him look bad, but he would always say his fondest coaching memory is the championship game when he's out there with Dylan Flame, all right, and they're sitting on the way in the field, and the other team comes out and they got the boombox playing and the rap music, and everyone's got the gloves on and the headbands.
Yeah, they got bands up their arms. They got sleeves. They got the AI sleeve.
And JP always has a twinkle in his eye when he talks about beating the shit out of that team. With Dylan Flame.
So did your dad ever coach you in anything?
Basketball. Basketball, my dad, great basketball, a lot of drills, not a lot of scrimmage. Scrimmage was only for like the final 5 minutes of practice, I remember. The other teams would go out there and they would scrimmage all the time. Pop scale, not a big believer in the mic and drill. I remember correctly. And then, what do we call it? The UCLA fast break drill. 3-on-2.
2-on-1.
2-on-1.
That 11 man.
Is that what you guys call it? Yes. We call it the UCLA drill.
We call it 11 man. My dad was a master, especially in basketball.
How does that drill work? You have two guys, or...
No, so one guy. So
somebody runs in when the ball crosses half court. Someone from the defense runs in. Right?
No, 11 man. It was the greatest drill in the world.
Okay,
we actually used to run this in high school with like the JV boys and the varsity girls would come in on it. So you have four lines, one on the other side of half court, and then across from each other. Then one person starts with the ball, and they have two people on defense, and then.
No, it's three guys bring the ball up the court. Once he crosses half court, it's 3-on-2. The third defender runs in to play defense.
Oh, we didn't know. Never mind. That wasn't it.
So, and then when that gets over, those three guys go back the other way.
So one person dribbles a ball up, two people on defense, two from the wing come in, and it's 3-on-2. Then the defender who gets the rebound dribbles the ball up, and they have two defenders on the other end, and then the two from the other line play offense with him, and then whoever rebounds that dribbles it up with two people, and then two people play defense.
I'm following you.
It's one of the most fun drills. But anyways, so my dad was a master. He was a master.
Your dad was a basketball coach too?
And when I was young, also baseball. But he was the master at team selection.
Oh, he talent scout?
Yeah, unbelievable talent scout and unbelievable general manager.
Really?
Yeah. So what he used to do was...
Well, he took the biggest, strongest kids. Yeah, way to go.
So, no. What he used to do is he used to never pick me.
Oh.
So
what, were
so
you automatically on his team?
So you have tryouts...
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's there, like it's a combine with their clipboard, mm-hmm. writing down who they want.
Yeah.
And then, my dad, and then all the coaches get together after the tryout, they basically have a draft.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would never draft me because he would always, like one of the rules is if you coached, your kid got to play on your team.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he would always trade some nubber so that I could be on his team and we'd have like one of the best teams in the league.
A step ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We only got basketball from my dad, but I think JP, he takes pride in it and it's a hobby. Like I got no problem with it.
Yeah, if you got nothing going on.
And it also, you know what? He's also locally famous. Everyone's going to go, oh, there's JP. People know who he is, especially in Montgomery County. It's not. I didn't like the pedophile comment. I just thought that was like, I don't know, frat boy humor from, come now, on.
I mean, I understand it, but I guess in today's day and age, it happens a lot.
No one's going to see JP out there and go, that guy's a weirdo for wanting to coach.
Yeah.
I don't think. They might just think he's a weirdo.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, hey, when we come back, I want to talk on something that was briefly mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's about fart walking, and we'll describe what that is and the health benefits of it. But we got to let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com right now or on the Amazon store. Use that promo code Bitties to save 10% on every order, not just your first. Not just your second, every single order. You can get the 2-ounce energy shot, put it in with some water, chug it during the show, kind of like I do, or get the 12-ounce can, sugar-free. I love the new silver can. It looks like a Coors Light. Get some today, don'tsleepenergy.com right now. And remember, don't sleep. It makes you great. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Bit Season, episode 171. This will be an abbreviated version of the show since Drabby has a meeting coming up very shortly. But we mentioned fart walking heading into our break, and it was mm-hmm. briefly mentioned and brought up by JP. And I wanted to get your take on this. It was not only a New York Post story, but it was in Yahoo. It was on Independent. It's what the heck is a fart walk? Why is this practice being hailed as the secret to healthy aging? So basically what it's saying is, and this study is done by Sloan Kettering, so you know it's very valid. That's the first thing the junks do is who did the study?
Who did the study?
But basically after your meal is consumed, specifically dinner, going on a walk to kind of move all of the gases through your intestines.
Makes sense.
To basically fart it all out is healthy for you. It's healthy for your digestion, overall health. Walking in general is healthy for you. So overall, this is a win-win, I think, especially.
I guess it's kind of obvious to me. Like, why is this a story? It just feels like it could be.
It's common knowledge.
It's common knowledge. Walking's good for you. I've never heard there would be a problem with ripping farts. So, like, to me, the story was everywhere this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Common knowledge to me that you could go off going for a walk and getting and letting your tummy settle after a big meal is probably a smart thing to do. Now, look, if this said this will ripping them while you're going for a walk, it makes you live 12 years longer. Okay, well
I'm into it.
Then you're into something.
Not only does it help that, it also helps with your glucose levels, since the food is in your system while you're walking. What was really disturbing about this story for me was my mom goes for walks after dinner every night.
Oh, wow.
I know. And all I could think about is Mom Valdez going for her half mile walk. And then just because she doesn't want to be ripping them around my dad and myself after she finishes her meal.
Do you ever hear your mommy rip them?
No, but now I think I think she goes for her walk to squeeze him out, not around us.
She must, yeah. Maybe she's been onto this for a long time.
I think she's been onto this for a while because she'll go for her walk every single night at least 20 minutes after she eats.
Hey, by the way, this is like the most obvious thing ever. Springtime walks are silly.
Yes, you're just figuring that out now.
Sunset golden hour walks are one of the most enjoyable things in the world. Especially if you leave your dog at home, because at least my dog, he's just a pain in the ass and he's pulling me all the time still. And if I leave Oakley at home and I just want to get out and get some air for a few minutes and smell the roses, it is a very And I get psyched because I live in a very Indian neighborhood, and the Indians, they're just world-class walkers. I mean, they go out and they hammer that sidewalk every night. It's and they got this perfect stroll down where they put their hands behind their back. And they're talking to each other, and it's a family thing, and it's very inviting to me it's very peaceful looking to me, I guess. And so I've been going on walks recently at night.
Solo?
Solo.
So clear your head.
Well, I'm just like scrolling Twitter. Yeah,
I think the point is to not be scrolling Twitter during your golden hour walk.
I know, but I get a few minutes in. I mean, running's overrated.
Running sucks.
But I do like the neighborhood walk and just seeing your community, seeing people you know. It's something you, that you should.
Are you engaging in small talk during your walk? When you see someone you know.
Yes. There's a guy I see almost every time that I do it. He's always washing his car out in the driveway. And he stops me and chit-chats about something. I don't know what it is, you know. I can't remember. Music or something. I can't remember the last thing I talked about.
I wish I didn't know, like, this is why people are walking sometimes. Because now I feel like if people are walking at 7 o'clock, they just had their dinner, and then they're crop
it's
dusting.
It's kind of ruining it.
Yeah, it's kind of crop dusting everything around. It's almost like bulimia for your butt.
I can see that.
You just house a big meal, then you got to walk outside, and then just start squirting it out the other end. Yeah. It kind of ruined it.
Did your dad go on these walks with your mom?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, he probably knows better.
my mom invites my dad all the time. Mm-hmm. Says, Bob, you want to go for a walk with me?
What about Bish and T? Do they go? When do they take their walks?
Well, I know Jason walks Luca immediately. I think they go for a walk together after dinner, don't they?
I thought it was more of like a middle of the day type thing. But I could be wrong. Like maybe like a 2 p.m. walk. Like I had a really weird time.
It just, I don't know. I don't know if you said, hey, let's go for a walk after dinner. I don't know if I could do it with you anymore because now I'll just associate walks at that time with crop dusting. I can't, like, it will be in my head nonstop.
My kids have reached the age now where they are when they rip them, they think it's funny. They think it's funny. And,
oh no!
Yeah, or they get embarrassed because for years they didn't even know what they were doing really. But now it's
are they loud?
It's butt loud sometimes. You know, or sometimes they'll come into our bed in the middle of the night and then just rip them and they wake you up in the middle of the
well, sometimes all that gas is stored in you overnight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everybody farts.
Do you scold them when they do it? Like you say, now.
Nah. I don't want them to feel embarrassed about that.
Just say when we do that, but not around people.
Nah, not yet. They'll figure that out when they get a little older. When they go to school or so, you know, when they actually go to kindergarten or something.
Okay.
Or let their mom handle that.
Do you notice when you do your golden hour walks that you become more flatulent?
No, I had not noticed that. But I also am a late dinner eater.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I sleep on that.
I like to have a little post-walk meal. I don't eat dinner until 8:30 at night.
Oh, my God. I've told you this theory before.
Nobody subscribes to what I do. And I'm telling you, you're missing out. You got to eat a little afternoon snack to tide you over, okay? And it's probably why I'm not in a calorie deficit as I should be. I like to eat late night dinners because to me, eating is enjoyable. And after you eat dinner, you got nothing to look forward to the rest of the night. I like to build the anticipation.
No. Yes. No. Oh. I'm a dinner then TV guy.
Well, I watch dinner while I watch TV while I eat dinner.
I mean, I know, but I can't watch anything. Like, if I put something on while I eat, it's just background noise. Like, I can't pay attention to a show or anything.
Why? Are you that distracted by your food?
Yes. Look at my belly. You think I'm not distracted by my food?
I will say, Valdez does something while consuming that I pointed out to him the other day that I've actually been thinking about for years, and I never had the fortitude to bring it up to you, and I finally pointed it out this past week.
You put me on so much tilt.
And it's mesmerizing. It's not tilting, but it is astonishing to see a grown person do what you do.
All right, explain what I do.
I'm sitting up in my chair here.
Okay.
Valdez is an absolute guzzler. A unit. I've never seen. He looks like a child. He looks like Blake and Tinsley when I give him a sip of my soda, and they can't believe it. But it's not even soda for Valdez. It's no matter what he's drinking, water, juice, soda, milk. The guy, it's like a tornado inside the bottle. Here.
That sounded kind of funny.
Most people sip what they're drinking. His bottle's empty. You should fill that up, a little ASMR for people.
All right, okay? All right, all right.
And don't put on a bit.
I'm not. All right.
He's going to go fill that up with water or find something. Go get his water bottle. So what he does is most adults out there, when you consume like a 20-ounce soda bottle, you take a little sip of it. Valdez has – he's consuming 8 ounces at a time. Like, he just opens the floodgates, and it's a tornado of fluid down his throat every single sip. He's never noticed it, and I've had to sit there and watch him for years and years and years behave this way. It's like a caged animal. It's finally let out of the cage, and he can go wild. All right, Valdez is coming back in. We're gonna listen to him guzzle here.
All right. I'm back. Did you pad enough? Pad long enough?
Yep.
Pad long enough? Just
pad it a little bit.
All right, what are you saying? Maybe I don't have a gag reflex.
I don't think you do. Here, take it. Just take it.
All right, this is what.
Take what you would like a little tiny sip of water.
I want to wet my whistle.
Yeah, so just wet your whistle, okay?
Okay.
Not how you normally drink.
What?
Do you realize that you, like, every time you take a sip, it's astonishing. It's like 8 ounces of liquid.
I'm like an elephant.
Your esophagus must be so wide. Like, I don't know how. It's a funnel. Like, when you actually drink, Valdez, there's a little tornado funnel in the bottle.
Nuh-uh, really?
All right, now drink it like you think, what? like how I drink it. Is it possible for you to take a little tiny sip without guzzling? Okay, was that uncomfortable for you?
I feel very dainty.
Have you ever realized?
No one's ever said anything.
Have you ever realized that when other people, like, listen to the sound that it makes when you drink? Go do it again. You know, a normal drink for you.
I'm running out already.
I know. The guy just drank 24 ounces of liquid. Okay. You hear that?
It sounds like a toilet flushing.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that nobody else makes that sound when they drink?
I haven't noticed.
There's no audible sound coming from Miramar.
You know what? I missed my calling. Maybe I should have been in, like, the chugging contest.
I think you could. I think you, did you ever do a keg stand? I bet you would just destroy a keg stand.
No, actually, I don't think we've ever done keg stands when we were in college.
Really?
No.
I think you'd probably be really good at it. It's an unlimited, like, there's no governor on it.
I would be pretty good.
Don't they do that with like Badlands Booker? Isn't he like the lemonade drinker of the world?
Something like that. I mean, that's just diabetes waiting to happen.
I think you should enter a contest.
Who is the old guy on the Man Show that used to guzzle his beers?
Now I don't see you eat like that.
I eat very fast.
Maybe I don't know.
I am a very fast eater.
I don't see you taking these huge gulps of food though.
No, I'm just fast.
I don't hear it. No. I hear.
I've been conditioned as a kid to eat fast because with my brother and my dad.
It's a race to seconds. Same way. I'm a very fast eater too.
I never noticed until you pointed it out.
Yeah. No one else has ever said anything to you?
No.
Okay.
I mean.
All right. Well, now you know. And this is not a bit. This is literally how he drinks every sip of water.
I just drank 18 ounces of water. And
seriously.
Three gulps.
You should enter a contest. I'm not even kidding you. Last thing I wanted to get your thoughts about Valdez today is the pranking of Shador. Eric is my tilt of the week this week.
Eric's been on.
I haven't agreed with anything he said. He called Jeff Ulbrich a bad parent today.
Yeah,
like mistakes happen. Like kids, 21-year-old kids are males are the dumbest creatures on earth.
Yeah.
And it's all frat boy behavior. I did dumb things all the time.
Of course.
And I'm going to put the audience onto something. I don't know if I've ever said this publicly. Okay? I've been reminiscing with an old friend this week.
Yeah.
About the NFL draft.
Okay.
Do you know that I was involved in something very similar? I think I've told you this. I don't know if I told the audience, though.
I know that you've been involved with something, but I don't think the audience does.
I can't. I was involved in an NFL prank call, NFL draft prank call.
Draft day prank call.
Yes.
You're like Jax.
I did not.
Jax Cale.
I did not make the call. And but, I think I told, maybe I said this before, but I don't know. Who knows? We've done 3 years of shows. Me and D-Tet, Doug Tetrault, who used to be intern Doug on the show like 15 years ago on Chad Duke's show.
Blast from the
2008. This guy's, by the way, Doug's got the world's greatest memory. He remembers every single detail of every single scene of his life. He and I used to work on the Chad Duke show together, and he was the assistant producer, I guess, at the time. And Ryan Kerrigan was drafted. Like he was on the Chad Duke show leading up to the draft.
Right. That's typical where couple of guys are that are mocked to you. They'll call in, do an interview.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say how they would fit in for the team, how they want to get drafted by the team, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And there is, you know, back then we had, of course, same thing now. We had caller ID. So we wrote down his phone number for future use.
Yeah.
And that night of the NFL draft, me and Doug, who had just worked together, did a show together, go and we were watching the NFL draft in Centerville.
Okay.
I think a place called Red Rocks. I don't think it's still there. But and Dukes is there and a bunch of luminaries.
Okay.
And we're drinking and having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't do it before. And this is back in the day where, remember back in the NFL draft when they would show the draft picks getting the call before the commissioner went out there.
Yeah, they would say, there's somebody, yeah, he's on the phone.
He's on the phone. The Redskins are on the clock, and Ryan Kerrigan's on the phone. Okay?
Yeah, that was always a big tell.
It was and I just watched the video again this week. I want you guys to YouTube Ryan Kerrigan drafted by Redskins. Okay? Ryan Kerrigan, they show Ryan Kerrigan talking to Joe Gibbs or whoever the hell was the coach back then and getting drafted by the Redskins. And they go, Ryan Kerrigan's on the phone and the Redskins are on the clock. It looks like that's going to be the draft pick, okay? And then they start showing all his highlights.
Okay. Kerrigan gets off the phone. They start in hugging family. He's hugging family. Everyone's hooting and hollering. And then they show the B-roll. And they show all the Kerrigan highlights.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Mel Kiper. Look at this sack in Purdue. Yeah. Yeah. Look at the bench.
Mel Kiper's talking about what a stud the Redskins yeah. just drafted.
And this guy, he was my second-rated defensive end on the board. He's a steal to go to the Redskins and blah, blah, blah.
And then they cut back to, like, Goodell announcing the pick or whatever it is. And then they cut back to Kerrigan in the green room. And he's getting a phone call, and it's intern Doug and me, but it's Doug's phone calling him, and it's Doug on the line saying congratulations to Ryan Kerrigan for being drafted. But Ryan Kerrigan sees that it's a 703 number that just called him from Ashburn, yeah. and he thinks it's someone else from the Redskins calling him, like who knows,
like the D-line coach or yeah. the coordinator at the time.
What's the GM's name from up in Baltimore? No.
Oh, Vinny Serrato.
Yeah, Vinny Serrato calling him. And it's Doug going, hey, congrats, man. Congrats. Welcome to the Redskins. And Ryan Kerrigan, you can see on the ESPN going, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I don't remember all the details. Doug probably remembers word for word what exactly he said. But then we hang up and Kerrigan goes to his family, I don't know who that was. And it's one of the funniest things that we always look back on. But this dumb Falcons just got fined $250,000 and the coach $100,000 for his son pranking Shador Sanders. Honestly, not that different than what me and Doug did.
I'm begging you get fined.
Yeah, I know. Now that I told the story. I think the kid's an idiot.
Look, we all do stupid stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if I did something that stupid when I was 21. Finding the actual employee $100,000 is kind of BS.
I kind of want to do boys will be boys, but that's just what it feels like. And then also, it's a prank call. It's like, okay, I get it. It's probably the biggest moment
can't happen
of his life.
Again. You got to lock it down.
Yeah,
but you're gonna find the dad $100,000. That's a lot of money. I don't care if he makes $1.5 million. $100,000 is a lot of money for your kid's screw up.
Yeah,
yeah. You literally had nothing to do with because he's a punk kid that's immature, and he'll definitely regrets it. I'm sure.
When I was younger, we. My buddies used to get butt-sized to call and text Mike Leach. RIP Mike Leach, but...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mike Leach would always answer.
We used to call coaches, too. Like, we would call the coach's office. I remember calling Bobby Knight's office when he went to Texas Tech. My freshman year of college.
No. I mean, it'd be 1 o'clock, and Washington State just had a big upset. Sykes to call them and say congratulations.
Oh, no. Like back in the day, they used to have phone numbers on the website.
Their office.
So it'd say like Bobby Knight, 514, and he'd give his phone number and you call his office.
I would love to know what Doug said to him. Besides congratulations.
Congratulations. I don't remember. It wasn't anything mean-spirited.
But
it's just funny because it was on actually ESPN. You can watch it on YouTube.
Were you just howling at the time?
We were so howling. Yeah, yeah.
God, that was probably a month's worth of. You remember when I called it?
Yeah. We bring it up every year. To be honest, but this
every
year,
draft, every April,
every draft day, we bring it up with each other. But this year was extra special. All right, I got to go to a meeting. Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do a show next week with Valdez gone. Maybe we'll meet up in Hilton Head, but we'll keep you guys.
We'll voice memo a show together.
Right. All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you
later.